Fisting today with OSU's Brian Whitaker. He is the man that we go to when we want to talk about rural broadband. So welcome. And if you could start off, just kind of give us an update on some new things that are happening, or maybe some new coverage areas, or even some new money. Just kind of give us an update.
Sure. Thanks, Casey. Appreciate you having me on. So a couple of items to talk about for broadband. First of all, there were some recent awards to some electric cooperatives who are going to be providing broadband to their service areas. And those awards went to Cooks and Hills Electric Cooperative, they're based out of Stigler, and they're going to be serving Sequoia and Haskell counties. They got about $4 million over a 10-year period. And if you get your power through Cooks and Hills, you can be expecting a fiber rollout over the next 4 or 5 years. The other cooperative that got some money is Canadian Valley, and they serve Pottawatomie, Seminole, and Lincoln counties. And they got about $10 million over a 4 or 5 year period. I'm sorry, over a 10-year period. But you could be expecting a fiber rollout for them as well. And that was part of the Rural Digital Opportunities Fund, a federal program that went was allocated, program ran last year, and they're just now getting some awards from that. It is not part of this larger infrastructure bill that we've been hearing so much about. We're still kind of waiting on those funds to come down to the state level.
Brian, talk a little bit about what that means. So when those companies get those kind of funds, what is the first steps, or kind of the next steps that follow?
Well, the nice thing for both of these electric cooperatives, they have a map on their website about who they're exactly, what their service area is going to be. And so essentially what they're going to be doing at this point is, you know, putting that money into putting the fiber either aerially or underground. Most of these guys are going to do it aerially on the, you know, like the power lines are. So they have to go out and literally lay wire. They have to connect all the houses in those service areas. So they're going to have technicians coming up to those houses. They've got to buy all the equipment to run the servers and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's a whole lot of electronics and a whole lot of manual labor to get those wires laid.
About how long is the time frame on when you're awarded these monies to when you're actually going to get to see that fiber broadband?
Yeah, the rule of thumb is we'd like to see the build out complete in about 4 or 5 years. So, of course, some areas are going to get it quicker than that. Some areas are going to have a fiber connection up and running within a year. But those more remote rural areas, probably going to be closer to 4 or 5 years for those. And you can see who they plan to serve. And the great thing about these are they very much are rural electric cooperatives. So any rural household in their service area, they're going to be bringing a fiber line to your door.
So that's really good news. And then I saw where here in Oklahoma, House Bill 3363 is something that the Republicans have brought up. So talk a little bit about what that could mean.
Yeah, so this is something I've actually been pushing for the better part of, 5 years or so now. And this is going to set up a state broadband office for Oklahoma. And so we don't have one right now. There's about 30 states across the country that do have some kind of broadband office. And I've actually done a little bit of research on this and shown that if you do have a state office, then you're going to be better off for things like allocating grants and getting better rural connectivity. So that's what my research shows. And the discussion right now is, you know, how big this office is going to be. I think we're looking at somewhere between, you know, 3 and 7 employees. So there'll be a director. There'll be someone who, you know, is in charge of the grants, someone who's in charge of kind of the mapping process. And so I know we're kind of pushing, the state legislators are pushing for a quick resolution to this, because we do have some money, thankfully, from the ARPA Act to pay for this. And so that was one kind of sticking point in the past. We didn't have the money to set it up. Now we do. And so we're hopeful that'll get underway quick, and we can have someone in place to not only focus on getting the infrastructure out there, but to help people productively use it. And so we hear a lot about digital literacy training and digital inclusion efforts. And so that'll be an important job for this office too, is to help people productively use broadband once it becomes available.
Well, I know broadband is, of course, a huge topic, not just in Oklahoma, but everywhere. How's Oklahoma stacking up as far as like where we're at compared to where everybody else is at for broadband?
So the latest data we have for that is from 2019, so it's a little bit dated. But if you look at just the rural areas of the state, the national average for the percent of the population with some kind of broadband available to them is around 83%. And Oklahoma is sitting at about 73%. So we're a full 10 percentage points behind the national average for our rural areas. That's why we've been pushing for this broadband office, for some better maps to show exactly who needs the connections and what the best way to get those connections out there is. So frankly, we don't rank very good. We're in the, you know, probably mid 40s if you rank all 50 states. But we're making progress. The good news is that the trend has been pretty significantly up over the past 4 or 5 years. And that's due to some of these, you know, grants that we've been getting from USDA and some other places. And we were expecting, you know, this new bill, the 3363, is pushing for 95% coverage of all Oklahomans by 2026, I think it is. So go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, just how impactful is that? Because, like, to me as someone, and I know you too as well, we have to have really good internet just to do our daily jobs. And for us, it's super impactful, especially if you have an outage. But talk a little bit about why that's going to be such a huge deal if all of, you know, 95% of Oklahoma has really good fiber internet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we actually have a study right now looking at how the places that didn't have good broadband fared during COVID. And as you can imagine, the shift to telework was a huge thing, right? It happened kind of automatically. If you didn't have a good broadband connection, you know, you can't telework. A couple of other things we saw because of COVID is telehealth. People, you know, seeing their doctors on either a mobile device or over a good, you know, a laptop, desktop computer. If you don't have a good broadband connection, you can't do that. So it's not just things like, you know, obviously it's important for productivity, for quality of life issues, like, you know, keeping connected to family and being engaged in your local community. But it's important for a whole host of factors, you know, health, there's income opportunities, and there's research out there showing it's important for entrepreneurship. So it absolutely matters that we're getting a good chunk of our population to have good, fast broadband access. And I'm kind of excited to see what the future holds and see what it leads to.
Yeah, me too. Now, I know we've got the reconnect deadline coming up on March the 9th, but what are some other things that are kind of coming down the pipelines?
Yeah, so one thing I want to emphasize, I don't think I've been on this year to talk about that. Last year, we had the emergency broadband benefit, which would give eligible households $75 a month to pay for their broadband connection. And that has continued. There's actually more money behind that now. It's transitioned into something called the Affordable Connectivity Program. So again, almost all of Oklahoma qualifies for $75 a month. And the kind of cutoff here is if you're less than 200% of the poverty line, which for a family of four is somewhere around $55,000, $56,000. So if you make less than that, you can be getting a significant discount every month on your broadband bill. I would encourage people to talk to their local extension educator or local librarian about this Affordable Connectivity Program. So that's something that's really important, and I hope people start taking advantage of. We're actually doing pretty good here in Oklahoma, getting people to adopt it, but there can also always be more. So my estimates put about 35% of the eligible households that are already participating. We'd love to see that number, you know, closer to 100%, but you know, 60-70% would be awesome.
And how do folks apply for that?
So if you just look up Affordable Connectivity Program, there is a website. There's a couple ways. They actually did a pretty good job of this. You don't have to have a website, which is good, or an internet connection. You can do it old-fashioned mail if you want to. You can call someone. But again, I would get someone to help you through that if you're not tech savvy. Your local librarian should have some knowledge about it. Again, your local county extension educator should have some knowledge about this Affordable Connectivity Program. The easiest way is online, but if you don't want to do it that way, you can call and get someone on the phone, or you can send in an old-fashioned paper mail application.
And I know we received, you know, a lot of money is being thrown behind rural broadband. So have we started kind of seeing that money and spending that money, or where are we at on that?
We're not quite there yet. We know that Oklahoma is going to get at least $100 million for broadband. Of course, the Infrastructure Act had $42 billion allocated across the entire nation. We expect a lot more than that 100 million once they do the final allocation. Once you see, they're actually going to do a little calculation of the percentage of all households across the country that don't have good broadband. And like I just told you, we don't fare very well on that. So we expect a lot more money. That's why the state broadband office is so important, is to be handling these funds and start accepting applications once that money does come in and allocating it to the areas that are most in need. We probably honestly won't see a lot of that money till closer to the end of this year. There's just a lot of paperwork that needs to be done. We still don't know, like I said, the weighting of how much each state is going to get. So they're still working on that. But the good news is we do have some funds from ARPA, like I said, to build our own state map for broadband, which we're actively working on, and get the state broadband office in place. So I think the tools are there. We got some money to do this finally, and we'll hopefully see some progress.
So when the money does come in and Oklahoma gets it, how does that work? Like, where do you start, like, deciding where to spend it, or who gets it the most, or how does that all shake out?
Yeah, that's why this map is going to be so important, and we're actively building it right now. So we've got, you know, data from all the providers. They tell us, you know, who they serve and the speeds that are offered in different places. And so we're going to kind of ground truth that. We're going to build our own little map of all the speeds that are offered in different geographies, and then kind of overlay that with the percentage of people that already have a broadband connection, and look at some, you know, places where pockets of poverty exist. We're going to do a whole little kind of host of calculations on who needs it the most, and who will get that first, you know, bucket of money when it starts coming down. So once we have this kind of priority list of areas we want to look at, then we'll start asking the providers and the cooperatives and even communities themselves to start putting in applications. And that's why the state broadband office is going to be so important. They're the ones that are really going to be spearheading this whole effort, having people in place that can, you know, effectively evaluate those applications. Otherwise, it would be, you know, people like me who are doing this as the fourth job that they have that don't get paid to do it, and it's not going to be done very efficiently. So hopefully we'll get some good people in this state office that have some experience doing this and can be ready to roll when the money does come down.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I feel like you're good for at least 5 to 6 years, but what are you going to talk about after we all have broadband, Brian?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think I'm hopeful that we'll still be talking about the positive impacts that it's seen. And, you know, the question a lot of people are asking is, you know, well, that's great, we're getting this fiber broadband. Will we now see these places that only have, you know, maybe 25 megabits per second, kind of old school broadband, are they going to be the ones that are falling behind? You know, do we need to invest to get those guys up to 1,000 megabits per second like these people who are getting fiber? So I think we'll still be having the conversation. You know, there's still a whole lot we don't know about 5G coming in, you know, what that means for ag and kind of precision agricultural adoption of broadband, all that kind of stuff. So I still think it's going to be a hot topic, but, you know, there's also all other kinds of rural development issues I'll be looking at as well.
Well, absolutely. And we know we've always got to upgrade, right? Every two to 3 years, there's an upgrade coming up on something. So you've always got to upgrade.
That's right. Oh, I should say that's a great thing about fiber, though, is that it is considered future proof. So the cool thing about that technology is even if you need like multiple gigabits per second down the road, fiber is supposed to be able to do that. So that's really a great thing that we're hopefully able to invest in that technology now.
We'll all get to be, what is it, a gagillionaire?
Yeah, I've heard those too. Yeah, you do a good job marketing that, yeah.
All right, Brian, thanks so much for visiting with us today. Sounds like some really exciting times coming up in broadband.
Yeah, I think so. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Thank you, Casey.